to the people. Covenants that had been made with God and covenants in marriage had been ignored and broken. People were questioning God's timing. And they were questioning, as we heard last week, if they were getting enough out of their relationship with God. It had become like a business deal for them. We also looked at the importance of our giving, our financial giving to the Lord's work. In our case, through the local church here at WBC. It's been a lot to challenge us about possible spiritual apathy. As we come to the end of the book of Malachi, indeed as we come to the end of the Old Testament, we don't have a dispute in this final passage. We simply have God speaking some pretty dramatic words to the people of Israel and also to us here today. And I have a question for you folks to begin with. It's a rhetorical question. You don't need to answer this. What do you really think about there being a judgment day? A day when we will all be judged for the way that we have lived our lives on this earth. Do you think it's for real? Because I have news for all of us. Surely the day is coming, says the Lord. So let's not be in any doubt at all that a day such as this that is described here in this passage will happen at some point. Judgment Day will surely happen. And I think it's important that we all understand that, because there will be no holding it back. There'll be no delaying it. Surely the day is coming, says the Lord. And I guess in the context of this series, the danger of spiritual apathy, we need to be sure, we need to be checking ourselves that we're not apathetic spiritually as the day comes, because it surely will. Personally, I think the description here that we find in Malachi about what will happen on the day is pretty terrifying. It's surely enough to make us all want to be sure that we avoid the danger of spiritual apathy. How bad will it be? How bad will this day be? Well, in Malachi chapter 4, we get a pretty clear description of how bad it will be. Fire will burn like a furnace. People will be reduced to stubble. They will be set light to, and there'll be nothing left of them. Sound like fun? Mm-hmm. Well, that will happen to the arrogant, to the evildoers, to the wicked, to those who aren't living the way that God really wants them to live. I wonder how that makes you feel. I find it frightening, and here's the confession as to why I find it frightening. I find it frightening because I know how often I get things wrong. I know how often I turn away from living as God wants me to. I know that there are times when I can be spiritually apathetic. The thing is, we all fail God from time to time. And that makes this impending fiery scene very much a scary one. It certainly does to me anyway. But it's not all bad news. Phew, I hear you say. For those who revere God's name, for those who live the way he wants us to, things will be very different. In that scenario, we don't need to fear about what's going to happen. Verse 2 that was read to us, it is a massive contrast to what we read in verse 1. The fiery scene. The contrast, which I think gives us real hope now and for the future, our eternal future. For those folks, things will be good. In fact, they will be so joyful that they will be like calves desperate to dance around and frolic in the fields. Because they're filled with just so much joy at knowing God and living for God. I love this image of playful calves being let out and enjoying their freedom, because what it does is it underscores what we have with God if we're prepared to accept it. If we're prepared to accept him. This image gives us the sense that by knowing God, our hearts will be filled with such peace and such joy that we won't be able to contain it. It's like someone opens the pens and we will rush out, leaping and bounding with joy. So it's not all bad news. As long as we're living the right way, the way God wants us to live, the way that we should be living if we've chosen to follow his son, if we've chosen to follow Jesus, living in a way which is the opposite of spiritual apathy. That's one of the reasons that I'm really keen to push this evening's prayer session. We certainly shouldn't be apathetic about coming together to pray as God's people. So do come tonight, 6:30 in the church hall. Another thing to note from this passage is that before this day, which will surely come, God reminds his people to remember the laws that he had given them. He says in verse 4, "Remember the law of my servant Moses, the decrees and laws I gave him at Horeb for all Israel." So for us today, it's a reminder to remember God's words through Scripture, and particularly his words through Jesus, which we read in Scripture. What he's saying is, live as I want you to live and have told you to live, because that's the best way. To turn away from him, to be spiritually apathetic, as the people of Malachi's day were, as we've seen in the first three chapters, is not the best way. And as we've already heard, it leads to an unpleasant experience down the line. God is reminding his people at the time of Malachi, and he's reminding us today to do the right thing by living the right way. And we know that the right way is spending time with God, reading the Bible, praying to him, allowing him to speak to us. That's how we know and we remember what he tells us. Remembering what he tells us. There was one other thing that God had to say that we read in this final passage of Malachi. He also told the people that he would send the prophet Elijah to you before that great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. He would turn the hearts of the parents to their children, and the hearts of the children to their parents, or else I will come and strike the land with total destruction. God is saying that to proclaim his message of salvation, to prepare people for Jesus, God promised the people that he would send another Elijah, the second Elijah, if you like. And that promise, as we know, was later fulfilled in John the Baptist, who clearly sought to signpost people to Jesus. He prepared the way, and he prepared the people for Jesus. So through Scripture, through John the Baptist, through the ministry of Jesus, we can't fail to know the importance of knowing Jesus, of following Jesus, of living for Jesus. We can't fail to know the result of doing so, and also the result of not doing so. The passage is pretty clear on that. As believers in Jesus, We see in the Bible not only what we have been saved to, calling to live out the love of Jesus, but also see what we've been saved from, an eternity apart from God. And knowing both of those things is a cause for celebration and should lead us to be thanksgiving towards God. And let's keep in mind, let's not lose sight of the fact that this passage that we've just heard from Malachi chapter 4 is the last thing that God said to Israel for 400 years. So I think it's safe to say that he would think it should be something noteworthy. His last words for a very long time. This is the Old Testament ending with a warning of judgment, but also with a prophecy of blessing, of salvation through the one called in this passage, the Son of Righteousness, so through Jesus. My prayer is that this concluding passage from Malachi instills in us a sense of urgency to be about the Lord's business. And boy, the world needs us to be about the Lord's business right now. And my prayer from this concluding passage from Malachi is that it instills in us a real awareness of the danger of spiritual apathy. If we avoid that, then we won't need to be concerned about the prospect of a fiery furnace. Instead, we can breathe a sigh of relief, and like calves frolicking in a field, we can leap and live and love with the joy of having Jesus in our hearts. And we can know that Judgment Day, when it comes, won't be one of terror. So know Jesus and live for him without spiritual apathy. If we already know Jesus, and if we're honest, we will know those times that perhaps spiritual apathy sets in. If we don't know Jesus yet, we really need to. I would encourage you to speak to me or one of the deacons after this service. Let me pray. Father, we thank you for this book. We thank you for